Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to You Know How to Diet, You Know How to Eat. My name is Laura Deutsch, and I'm the co-founder of Mommy Bites, along with my partner, Heather Awida. And today, we are going to get into the psychology of eating. And with that, I'd like to introduce our amazing speaker and sponsor, Mindy Gorman-Plesser, who is the founder of The Freedom Promise. Hello, Mindy.
Hi, Laura. How are you? I'm so happy to be with you.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. We've been so excited about this call. I love how it's just such a different take on all the typical diet talk, and it's going to be such an interesting thing to hear what you have to say. So could you briefly give us a little background on who you are and what the Freedom Promise is and how it all came to be?
Of course. Well, I'll start with what the Freedom Promise is. The Freedom Promise is a very positive and extremely empowering approach to help you transform your relationship with food, your body, and ultimately your life. From one that is stuck in fear and confusion to one that is joyous, loving, and free. This approach puts as much emphasis on you as a person as it does on what you eat. So together, we look at who you are as an eater, and that encompasses how you eat, why you eat, and even when you eat, because addressing these issues puts you in touch with your body. Simply connecting to your body, what you're really hungry for, that helps you to be empowered to make the choices for what to eat that's right for you. It's a holistic approach that addresses all areas of your life, your stress, your sleep, your relationships. We implement lasting and sustainable change so that we not only improve your weight, but your energy, your focus, your mood, and your general well-being.
Great.
How did it start? I'm sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Let's hear how this all started.
The Freedom Promise was born from my 20 years of experience as a weight management counselor. Followed by my certification trainings in integrative nutrition, eating psychology, and transformational coaching. But more importantly than that, when I combine that with my extensive life experience that came from the self-discovery that popped up from my own recovery from disordered eating that really took over most of my early adult years,
The Freedom Promise was created. That's wonderful. And you are an eating psychology coach. So for those people who might not know what that is, can you give us a little explanation of what that is?
Of course. Eating psychology coaching is very exciting and cutting edge. It was developed by the Institute for the Psychology of Eating, and it effectively addresses weight concerns such as chronic restricting and dieting, binge eating, emotional eating, compulsive overeating, body image challenges, and various nutrition-related health concerns. As an eating psychology coach, I see my clients' eating challenges as a place to start where we can more fully explore some of the issues in life that impact their relationship with food, weight, and health. Sometimes those issues are connected to work, to money, to relationships, family, intimacy, generally life stresses. So as an eating psychology coach, I employ coaching strategies and nutrition principles that combine cognitive behavioral therapies and mind-body nutrition.
Mindy, let me ask you: when you see clients, are you actually talking about different dietary theories and like what they should be doing to lose weight, or do you go kind of beyond that?
Okay. Well, what I do is when I meet with a client for the first time, we do an extensive history about where these challenges came from. So, for example, I'll ask a client, if it's a weight loss client, what was going on in your life when the weight came on? Understanding that that weight very often is a symptom of how one is coping with life stresses, what's being thrown their way. So we look at that. We look at the messages. We look at the thoughts and the beliefs that morph into those messages that we tell ourselves. Very often, those messages come up as negative self-talk. We look at the distortion in those messages so we can unwind them. Then we talk about who you are. As I said before, who you are as an eater. How are you eating? Are you eating
fast? Yeah, actually, I would love to hear more about that. What do you mean when you actually say we need to look at who we are as eaters?
Okay. So that brings us to how we eat, all right? Are we eating while grounded? Are we eating while distracted? Are we eating in an effort to numb out or check out? Are we eating out of boredom so we're just literally scarfing down our food? Why are we eating? Are we eating because of a true physical hunger? Or are we eating because perhaps we're hungry for something that can't be found in the kitchen? And when are we eating? Are we eating according to the natural rhythms of our body? Are we honoring our hunger? So often with the women who come into my office, hunger is something that scares them. They're afraid if they give in to their hunger, they won't be able to stop. Or owning that hunger makes them feel powerful. So I help them to understand the biological processes that our bodies go through and why it's important to eat on time. Now, taking that a step further, when those issues are addressed in an authentic way, it's easy to connect to our bodies so that the what kind of takes care of itself. What I mean is the what we're eating kind of takes care of itself because we're able to say, what is it that I really want?
Got it.
And we can eliminate the shoulds and the shouldn'ts and the guilt and the negative self-talk.
That makes so much sense. And you actually wrote a book that chronicled your personal journey, and there are actual 7 steps to food freedom. And I'd like to, guys, excuse me, that was my dog in the background if you heard that. There are 7 steps, and what I'd like for you to do, Mindy, if it's okay, is to go briefly over what those 7 steps to food freedom are, and then we can get deeper into some of those if that makes sense. So do you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. Okay, well, the 7 steps are in order with the word freedom, F-R-E-E-D-O-M. And it's really interesting how organically that kind of fell into place, because as I describe them, you'll see that one makes perfect sense to follow the previous one. So the F is for feel the love, face your feelings, and find your enough. And by that, I'm talking about find gratitude for where you are in life. And even if you are not exactly where you want to be ultimately, know that where you are is where you're supposed to be. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, and you have an opportunity to use your energy to facilitate positive change. Face the feelings. Face them. They don't have to manage you. You don't have to manage them. Just know that your feelings will not destroy you. And find your enough is about knowing that each of us started with a clean slate. Before there was fear, before there was ego, before there were those distorted messages that create the belief that we're not enough, I can help you retreat to that space where there is no fear, there are only blue skies, and where you can be completely present. And when you're in that state, the extraordinary can happen. In that state, we can let go of those messages that are no longer serving us well. When we're in that place, we can look at destructive behaviors with food for what they are, strategies to self-soothe. we can learn to self-soothe in ways that are not destructive. So that's step one. It's a big one. It's a powerful one, but it's necessary to start there. The second step, the R, is for rest, and that talks about stress. You mentioned it in your introduction. Stress is counterproductive to weight loss. Yeah, there are a small number of people who say, well, when I'm stressed, I can't eat. But the majority of us turn to food when we're stressed. We eat because we're emotionally triggered. What happens when we are in a chronic, prolonged stress response? Our digestion shuts down, we don't assimilate nutrients, and our metabolic rate, the rate at which we burn calories, is significantly diminished. Stress stress response is important. It was created to get us out of danger. But we're not running away from dinosaurs anymore. So what's supposed to happen when we're in that acute stress stage is that all of the blood rushes to our extremities, to our brain, to get us out of danger. If we don't calm down and we stay in that heightened state of stress, then, as I said, our bodies aren't functioning as they should be. And we start secreting hormones that are detrimental, cortisol, insulin. They keep us stuck, and they keep weight on our bodies, and they allow for cravings. So we want to be in that parasympathetic way of rest and digest. And I list strategies in the book of how to get there, and if there's time, we can, you know, go back and talk about the strategies. The first E is eat when you're hungry, stop when you've had enough. In this chapter, I talk about hunger. I talk about the different kinds of hunger, the differences between physical hunger, emotional hunger, and yes, there's something called toxic hunger. Toxic hunger is basically withdrawal from the chemical substances that the food companies spend billions of dollars experimenting with to make sure that we can't just eat one. Physical hunger, obviously, is when we need food, we need energy. And emotional hunger is when we are looking for something that is not coming from the kitchen. The second E is eat mindfully. Mindfulness is a big theme now going on, but mindfulness at the table is very important. It allows us to stop when we've had enough. It's created by eating without distraction. Even distracting thoughts, Laura, you know, if you're sitting and you're eating and you're thinking, should I be eating this? Is this food going to make me fat? I feel so guilty. Those thoughts actually distract you from being in that healing relaxation response.
And right. Can I jump in here and
sure.
ask, so any tips on that? Because I find that at my table, the eating mindfully, you know, it's kind of hard when you have perhaps a spouse that literally wolfs down his food in 5 minutes, and you know your children are seeing that too, and your entire meal is done in 10 minutes. So, any tips on how we can eat more mindfully, and how we can, you know, also transfer that to our family members?
Absolutely. The first thing I suggest is breath. Breath and the power of the pause. So the power of the pause is mighty when it comes to negative self-talk, but it's also important when it comes to our actions and how we want to be role models. So bring the food to the table slowly. Approach the table slowly. Keep the conversation at a nice, healthy pace. Ask questions. Put your fork down in between. Encourage a mood of relaxation.
I like that. I like that a lot. And what we started actually doing is, you know, because a lot of times what happens is when we first get get to the table, we're so, so hungry. So it's hard. It's much harder to be mindful when you're super starving. So after, you know, about a minute of just eating some food or 2 minutes, then we call it like, let's take a halftime break. And all of us, if I don't do that, then literally the dinner will be over. So we take, say, halftime, even though it's less than halftime. We put our forks down and we talk for a little bit, and then we can pick our forks up again. So that's something that I've started to do in my family to help prolong the eating experience and prevent the shoving down of the food.
Absolutely. And not only are you creating a healthy scenario for relationship building, but you're also allowing your bodies to benefit from the food. For example, I cite in the book an experiment that was done to prove how we don't even assimilate our foods when we're distracted. There was a study done where half the people in the group were given headphones while the group was given a mineral-based drink. The headphones had very loud noise. The group that had the headphones were tested after drinking this drink, and they only absorbed 40 to 60% of the minerals, whereas the group that drank the drink without the extraneous noise absorbed almost all of it.
That's so interesting. Wow.
Right. And take that a step further. Have you ever eaten while you're totally distracted, whether you're on the phone or in the car or walking around, and completely forgotten that you ate?
Yes.
Our brains don't even register that we've eaten. You know, digestion really starts in the head with something called the cephalic phase response, digestive response. Our brains signal the body that food is coming. If we don't allow our brains to get that signal, to appreciate the sensory wonderfulness of the food, the sensuality of the food, our bodies don't get the message. What happens? We end up wanting more.
So, Mindy, let's pretend, you know, we're approaching a meal. So, you know, the mindful eating obviously has to come at every meal. So whether we're approaching breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and it's time to eat, could you possibly, so the one thing was the breath. So are you saying that, you know, when we sit at the table, should we take a few deep breaths before we start? Or if even if you're eating your breakfast on the train on your way to work, do we start by taking a few breaths? So maybe we could just go through a few steps that mm-hmm. we actually can go through to help us start being more mindful.
Okay. Well, first of all, only eat on the train if you absolutely positively have to.
Okay.
You know, I would love it if our listeners, you know, could take an extra 5-10 minutes to have a breakfast at home where they're really honoring themselves, you know, honoring their bodies, honoring the day that's about to begin, if that's possible. If not, retreat to that space of sacred solitude where you are grounded, where you're sitting in such a way that you're aware of your surroundings. You feel the seat under you. You feel the ground on your feet. You taste the food. You smell the food. That happens only when you're eating slowly. So it's slow down. That's the first step, slow down. The breath always helps to ground you.
Okay.
And again, you know, as moms, we're setting the tone. We really are. You know, it's how we're bringing the food to the table, how we're presenting it. You know, are we sitting down and taking a deep breath? Or are we sitting down in such a way that indicates, let's get this over with and move on to the next thing?
You know, Mindy, we just actually had a question that came in, it's related to this, so I'd love to ask you that. Someone asked, what is your take on chewing the food? She's heard that it's, you know, better to chew your food if you can, like 50 times, but obviously that is kind of tough. So what's your thoughts on how much to chew your food, and does it actually aid in digestion, or is that something just to help you be more mindful?
Both. It's such a great question. I love it. because I also have training in digestive health. And we have to understand that, yes, I said digestion starts in the head, but the truth is that the breakdown of food actually starts in the mouth with our salivary glands. Okay, so the brain sends the message to the mouth to start secreting enzymes. So the food is starting to be digested in the mouth. It's very important to chew so that the enzymes get a chance to do what they have to do to help get the food down through the esophagus to the stomach where it's further broken down. If it doesn't have the help from the enzymes that are in the mouth, for example, saliva has enzymes that breaks down starches and sugars. That's amylase. If those starches aren't broken down in the stomach, then we can create digestive upset. So it's very important to chew. But it's also important to chew because it allows you to, as I said before, appreciate the sensuality of the food, to taste it, to give yourself time to appreciate your hunger and your fullness and your satiety. When you allow yourself to feel satisfied from your food, it's easier to stop when you've had enough. So it's a multifaceted topic and a great question.
So, piggybacking on that question, Mindy, what do you think truly is an ideal amount of time that it should take someone to eat a meal? Like, should it, you know, if you're sitting down and chewing the way you're supposed to and being mindful, I mean, like I said, I know we could finish our dinner literally in 5 minutes. So what do you think is a good amount of time that people can aim for when they're sitting down to have a meal? And perhaps they can literally look at the clock. Okay, I'm sitting down for lunch at 12. I should not be finished with my food until blank.
Okay. Again, a great question, and it's so individual because if I'm working with somebody who has a history of eating really quickly and being totally mindless in their eating, I might start by suggesting to them that if they ate in 5 minutes, stretch it to 10.
Okay.
Okay? What you're asking about eating as a family brings up a whole different subject because now we're talking about the relationship and the holistic approach to living, you know. Wouldn't it be great if we could sit at the table for 30 minutes as a family?
Right.
You know,
right.
And explore the day and what might have come up for you today and how can we help each other and love each other and support each other. That would be in a perfect world. So I think it's more important to see where you are now and work on that step by step than to make a blanket statement in terms of what would be ideal. Because what's ideal for one is not necessarily ideal for someone else.
That makes so much sense, actually.
Which brings me to the subsequent steps too, because we've got to rid ourselves of this perception of needing to be perfect. Okay, so we did the FREE. The D is about doing something every day that makes your body feel alive. And why I attach the concept of perfection to this as well is that, you know, so many of us as dieters pride ourselves on how many times we get to the gym per week and how hard we work out. The truth is our bodies want to move, period. How our bodies move should be decided by what brings us the most pleasure, okay? We need to move in an effort to honor our bodies rather than moving in a way to punish them so that they go away. So this chapter talks about just that. How can we honor our bodies? You know, mirror, mirror on the wall. We talk about body image. And this is, another thing about letting go of this perception of perfection, looking at somebody else and holding ourselves up to the mirror based on how we see someone else to be. We need to stay inside ourselves, go back to that clean slate. Step one.
So Mindy, what I love about what you just said, which is do what makes your body feel alive. So, you know, as we know, you know, you don't need to kill yourself with an hour of cardio every day in order to be at your optimum health. And if people could just remember and understand that if they could just move for 20 to 30 minutes a day, mm-hmm. they're doing what they need to do in terms of their health. And something that I can relate to what you said about doing something that makes your body feel alive. So, you know, for instance, if let's say I'm a runner, right? And mm-hmm. for a long time I would go out for a run and I would dread it because in my heart I was doing it just for the exercise and it was very hard. It was very hard. And then, you know, physically taxing. And then it made me not want to do it. And then over the past few years, I started going out there and just running slower for a while. I just go out there and I warm up until my body's ready. And guess what? If my body's never ready, I take it at a very slow pace the whole time. But the point is now I look forward to it because I know I'm not going to be literally physically hurting myself. I'm just going to be enjoying the fact that my body is moving. So
exactly.
I love that.
Yes, because otherwise you are just promoting a stress response. And that stress response will be counterproductive and counterintuitive to what your weight loss goals are.
Right.
So that's really, really important to understand. And then the O.
Mindy,
is,
one last thing. I just want to interrupt you only because we just got a question.
Please.
About exercise.
Good. Yeah.
So this person says, I hate exercise per se, but I love physical work. Is gardening, mowing the lawn, housework, and home projects acceptable forms of exercise and movement?
Absolutely, in all caps. That's what we refer to as functional exercise.
Good.
Anything
okay, good.
That keeps your body moving. And you know what? It's a cliche, but if it makes your heart sing, then your heart is pumping in the healthiest way possible.
I love that. Oh, that's
how
great.
I
bet you that's great news for a lot of people out there.
No question. You know, and that also goes along with, and it's part and parcel with the next step is the nutrition part of the book, only eat whole foods as often as you can. And forgive me, but I had to find something with an O. But, you know, the whole concept of eating less and exercising more is old science. It's old science. We've learned that it's not the quantity of calories that count as much as it is the quality of the calories you're eating. 100 calories of healthy protein or healthy fat is going to do a lot more for your body than a 100-calorie snack pack.
That's so, so true. And
exactly.
it doesn't affect your body in terms of weight the same way either. So as I'm sure as you can attest to it, you know, maybe you could talk about that. Like we now know a calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. You know, basically what is a calorie? A calorie is a unit of heat. That's all it is. It's a unit of heat. It gives us energy. And so we need to look at the type of energy and how our body's going to break down that calorie. Okay, 100 calories of what I like to refer to as fake food, you know, products that are coming out of boxes with more names on the ingredient label than we can read. It takes us longer to read it than it would to eat it. is not going to benefit our bodies because our body's not going to know what to do with all those chemicals and additives. When our bodies don't know what to do with chemicals or additives, it stores them in tissues. We become toxic. It becomes inflammatory. Our bodies become stressed, and then that whole stress response kicks in. So that's really, really a very, very, very important piece. The other issue with calories and what we're eating is, you know, it goes to what I see so much, you know, about what diet are you on? What diet should I be on? You and I talked a little bit about this before the call. You know, you've got a diet industry, a $60 billion diet industry, okay, whose job it is to tell us that we can't be trusted to know what's right for our bodies, all right? We've got celebrities turned nutrition gurus who are promoting products, promoting what works for them. We've got to look inside of ourselves. What is right for us? What makes my body feel good? What gives me energy? Not the shoulds and the shouldn'ts. We've got to take the whole moral landscape away from our food. There are no good foods. There are no bad foods. All foods are legal. There are just better choices for health and weight management. And that's really, really the important message here. And that's what the Freedom Promise is all about, because I work with women, mostly women, who are so confused as to what to eat that this confusion has turned into fear. And what's happening is they are chronically restricting, and they're restricting to the point where by the end of the day they give up, and then they are emotionally and compulsively overeating.
Right, right. You know, Mindy, I want to take a break here, and I just want to let our listeners know about an amazing offer that you have for them. So everyone out there, you know, as you know, Mindy is an eating psychology coach, and she wants to offer everybody on this call a 50% off of an initial breakthrough session. Now, an initial breakthrough session is pretty intense. It's 90 minutes, and Mindy really gets to know you well. It's regularly $275, but, again, Mindy wants to offer you 50% off of that. And in addition to that, she wants to offer you a copy of the book, which is the Freedom Promise, 7 Steps to Stop Fearing What Food Will Do to You and Start Embracing What It Can Do for You. And then if after the initial breakthrough session you decide that you want to enroll in a program, then the entire fee will be waived. So, Mindy, thank you so much for this generous offer. And you know, perhaps, guys, you have until what Mindy said is it's till April 15th. So you just need to be in touch with Mindy by April 15th. It gives you, you know, a little time to think about it. But, you know, you could just give her a call anytime before or shoot her an email, and we'll go over her contact information at the end. But, Mindy, again, I just wanted to say thank you for that offer. And I just want to ask a few more questions. And one of the things that we said we were going to discuss, how we talked about, you know, a calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie. And this one's very interesting. Can you talk about why people think that fat makes you fat and low carb is good? Is that's a myth? And can you just talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. First, I want to quantify that the amount of fat that each of us needs and the amount of healthy carbohydrate each of us needs is unique to us as individuals. There's no one diet that's right for everybody. So that's really, really important. And one of the things I do is help people assess what those limits should be for them. So that's the first thing. What your friend's eating might not necessarily bring you sustainable change. Fat is an essential nutrient. It is what we refer to as a macronutrient. It is essential to our survival. Our brains are, I believe, 77% fat. If you were to suck all the fat out of your body, you'd have a very hard time surviving. Fat is important to help, believe it or not, help our bodies burn fat, fuel our brains, regulate body temperature, regulates blood sugar levels, and even ensure healthy hormone levels. That's really, really an important thing to know. The other thing to know is that there are vitamins that are fat-soluble, vitamins A, D, E, and K. Particularly, these are the vitamins that we get from our greens and our vegetables. They are only absorbed by the body when there's fat present. So if you're going to go and have this fantastic salad, but you're going to have a dressing made up of balsamic vinegar and mustard, the salad becomes a nutritional wasteland. You're not absorbing any of the fat that your body needs as an essential fatty acid. So that's something really important to know about fat. Fat will not make you fat.
That is actually very interesting, because you would think if you're having, you know, a great big salad and you know, you're doing your body right, but what I think you're saying is that you won't feel satiated without some essential fat. So can you just tell us a few of the fats that we should not be afraid of and in fact we should be consuming on a daily basis, like just some of the quote unquote good fats, because I know there
Absolutely.
Are certain fats that perhaps made of that come from, like, you know, the sugar that we don't want. So what
right.
are some good fats that people should lean towards?
We want to have pure, preferably organic olive oil. We want to have avocado. I love coconut oil. I know there is some controversy about it because it is considered a saturated fat, but coconut oil is a medium-chain fatty acid as opposed to a long-chain fatty acid, so the body metabolizes it at a quicker rate, and more studies are coming out about the benefits of coconut oil. So I highly recommend coconut oil, and it is great for the skin. Topically as well.
Mindy, I'm a big fan, big fan of the coconut oil. In fact, I want to just throw this in there. I've actually started to put a half of a teaspoon of coconut oil into my coffee in the morning. I swear, and it gives
bulletproof,
it this nice flavor.
Bulletproof coffee.
It's delicious. I
yes.
love it.
Another fantastic fat is grass-fed butter. Grass-fed butter is wonderful. A wonderful source of nutrients as well.
Mindy, how do people know if it's grass-fed butter? Does it literally say
that
on the package?
Yes, it should say. It should say.
And what about ghee? G-H-E-E, ghee. I've heard of that.
Ghee
is
wonderful. Yes, ghee is basically clarified butter. What they take the whey protein solids out, so it's actually lactose-free as well. So ghee is a wonderful, wonderful product, and it does not need to be refrigerated. The other thing I want to say is nuts are a wonderful source of the omega-3s that we're talking about that are so healthy. What we want to avoid are vegetable oils. We want to avoid the oils that are higher in omega-6s. They can create inflammation.
Got it.
So,
great.
Yes. Okay, and then you talked about carbs. That's my favorite subject.
Okay.
I could not live without carbohydrate. That's me. If I go out for lunch and I have an egg white omelet, no potatoes, no toast, I am starving in a half hour. Okay.
Yeah.
I know that my body needs healthy carbohydrate because we need fiber. We also need the B vitamins that are plentiful in carbohydrate. Carbohydrates are precursors to serotonin, which is very helpful to fight anxiety. To that point, if any of our listeners have had experiences with emotional overeating, feeling stressed, what do they want? They want carbs, okay? Because carbohydrates can help reduce anxiety. But there are healthy choices for carbohydrate. You've got starchy vegetables, you've got whole grains, you've got some wonderful grains available to us today that can be fantastic. So, of course, you know, your vegetables are carbohydrates, fruits are carbohydrates, know that. I'm not talking about having to eat the refined carbs, which are basically empty calories, which tend to be more taxing to the body than helpful. But carbohydrates, again, are macronutrient, just as important as protein and the healthy fat we talked about.
Do you feel that we should get carb, be it, and I know, like, you consider quinoa and that type of stuff, the whole grain carbs as well, yes?
Well, you know, actually, quinoa is a seed.
Okay.
Quinoa is a seed, so it's a carbohydrate / protein. Quinoa happens to be very high in protein. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful food. But yes, quinoa is very important. I love sweet potatoes. I love the squashes. And you know what? Even white potatoes have been malaligned lately. White potatoes have something called resistant starch, which means they're broken down slower than refined carbohydrate. So if you feel like having an old-fashioned baked potato, by all means have it and enjoy it and scrub it really well underneath the skin because that's where all the vitamins, minerals, and fiber is.
And have it with some clarified butter, right?
Yeah, sounds great.
Well, Mindy, this has been such a great call and so informative and such a I love the different take on this whole dieting, you know, obsession we all have. And I hope that the listeners were able to take away some actionable items for them to help them be more mindful. But again, I want to reiterate to our callers that if this has been relatable to you and you want to perhaps take it to the next level, Mindy is a eating psychology coach, and like I said before, she is offering 50% off of her initial breakthrough session, plus a copy of her book. And then if you do end up working with Mindy, that whole fee will be returned back to you. So, Mindy, how can people get in touch with you if they would like to, take this to the next level?
Great. Well, my email address is Mindy, M-I-N-D-Y, at thefreedompromise.com. I have an office in Manhattan on the Upper East Side, but I'm also very happy to work via Skype. If I could just say one final thing that is really so important, I needed to know this as well. It really is possible to let go of the stories that have us believing we can't be trusted with food. We can find acceptance and compassion for that story and at the same time lovingly let it go. And it's so important to become empowered in such a way that we connect to our bodies rather than check out from them. And when we are connected, the extraordinary happens. You know, we can be the change that we want to see. I'll leave your listeners with this one last thought. Don't lose the weight so you can love yourself. Love yourself so you can lose the weight. And the very last step of the book, the M, is make sure you surround yourself with what truly nourishes. That's your relationships, your physical activity, a form of spirituality that you can relate to, and living your life every day in an authentic way.
I love that. I love that, Mindy. Thank you so much. What a perfect way to end the call. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I thank you and thank the listeners. Really, thank
yes.
you for letting me share my story.
This was excellent. Thank you so much, Mindy, and to everyone out there. Hope you enjoyed the call and have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.